Amen. Let's turn first of all to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. And then let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12. First John 1:7, our memory verse, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Okay, so 1 John 1:7. I'll say the reference, so then if we can say the verse together and the reference. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. So that verse will help us trying to get across to people that, because sometimes some people think they've done something too bad that God would not forgive. And so this verse lets them know that His blood will cleanse us from all sin. And then in Ecclesiastes 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12. And before we read that, I'm going to ask Pastor Jeremy if you would lead us in prayer for brother, or for Sister Laura's dad, and then Brother Tim, if you would follow him. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end. And much study is what? weariness of the flesh. That's why young people don't always appreciate having to do homework, because it's a weariness of the flesh. So there's physical labor and there's mental labor. Now your job may be physical or your job may be mental. They're both labor. Sometimes people tease others and say, "Well, you don't do anything at work. All you do is sit behind a desk." Well, that's mental fatigue, and when you get home, you're pretty tired, even though it might not be a lot of physical fatigue there. So, if we study the Word of God, it's not going to be easy, and that's just what we've got to get down. Praying is not easy. These things, as Jesus sweat great drops, as it were, of blood when he prayed earnestly. It's not something easy to do. Let's go then to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If our study is faithful, then it will be work, and it will bring weariness. But it will, you know, so when you work and you're weary, there's still a good feeling from it. You've done your duty, you've done your job, you see an accomplishment. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says what? Study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God himself calls someone who studies his word a workman. So it is work. Now, if it's God that says you are a workman, who can deny but that study is work? He says, the workman. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, man that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So number one, if our study is faithful, then it will be work and will bring weariness. Number two, if our study is in depth, then our heart has to be in it. Let me read that again. Number two, if our study is in depth, then our heart has to be in it, or we won't do it. Notice Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 28. And you know, sometimes your heart really is in it. When you open your Bible, you're looking for something and you find it. And then sometimes maybe you're tired, maybe you don't feel good, maybe you're pushed for time, and maybe your heart really isn't in it. You know you need to do it, so you're doing it. But maybe your heart really isn't in it to find something, and so maybe you don't. So Proverbs 15 in verse 28. The heart of the righteous, what? Studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Now you can cram for a test. Cramming is just like at the last minute, you've got a test due or coming, and so you just try to cram all that information into your mind. But I don't know about you, but I find that when I do that for a test or something, that I don't retain that information. You know, it's like I'm trying to push it in there quickly and take the test and hopefully pass. But it seems like that type of study, I don't really retain that like I should, like I would like to. We tend to forget that information more quickly. It's kind of like going somewhere one time. Have you ever traveled some distance away and, you know, maybe if you're the driver, maybe you'll remember it longer. But, you know, like sometimes people may say, well, how do you get to a certain place? What are the streets you follow? And it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I am paying attention. I mean, I know it's a certain place. When Pastor Jeremy had a Spanish meeting a few weekends ago, on a Saturday night, my wife and I were here cleaning, and this truck pulls in, and he seemed real friendly, and, well, I asked if I could help him with something. He said he was here for the service, and, well, the service was at Pastor Jeremy's house, And I started to think about telling him how to get there. And I says, no, I says, just follow me. I am not sure I know all the names of the roads how I go to Pastor Jeremy's house. I know where they are, but I'm not sure I know the name of them. And so I said, just follow me. So we got there, and he says, are we in Indiana? So I think he was glad I showed him how to get there too. So if we go someplace again and again, we've learned the way well. We learn how to get there, and it's like that finding information. It's like that when you study a certain topic. If you study a certain topic, you'll keep going there and you'll face offshoots, but you may try those offshoots and you'll find out, okay, well, that's not the answer, so I got to keep going this way. And so if you keep digging for truth in the Word of God, you're going to get familiar with the way there. You're going to get familiar with all the options. You know, okay, well, does this doctrine mean this? You know, some people says it means this. I had a glance at an order that came in this afternoon, and it was a guy believed he could lose his salvation, and he just mentioned something, and it was just like, okay, he's down this rabbit trail, and so he's really not familiar with all the things involved in what saves our soul and why we're kept saved once we get saved. So digging deep. Our heart has to be in it. It says there in verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth the answer. It's not just the mind. It's the heart. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. And that's one thing I love about the Word of God. That's one thing I love about the King James Bible. I've taken the position that I'm not going to be a critic of the King James translators. I'm just going to study. And to me, it's been a life of richly rewarded study, not taking the devil's advocate position or the scoffer's position, but just the position of belief and finding the answer. And it's been a wonderful journey in that regard. So, you know, there have been many famous inventors whose heart was not into general schoolwork. One was Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison is probably the most famous inventor in our nation's history. And he had more than 1,000 patents in his name, including the electric light bulb, the phonograph, motion picture camera, and so on. He became a self-made millionaire and won a congressional gold medal. But Edison got a late start in his schooling because he had an illness. And as a result, his mind often wandered in class, prompting one of his teachers to call him addled. He dropped out after 3 months of formal education. His mother had been a school teacher in Canada, and so she homeschooled young Edison. So here was a man that just, his heart was in inventing. His heart was in trying to come up with a light bulb and a lot of other inventions. But his heart was not in just general schoolwork. It was on some other fascinating things. And those things had his heart. And it's the same way with us. Does the Bible have our heart? Does God have our heart? Benjamin Franklin is another example. He was a politician, a diplomat, an author, a printer, a publisher, a scientist, an inventor, one of the founding fathers of our nation, one of the co-signers of the Declaration of Independence. But one thing he was not was a high school graduate. Franklin was the 15th child and the youngest son in a family of 20. I'll say that again. He was the 15th child and the youngest son in a family of 20. He spent 2 years at Boston Latin School before dropping out at age 10 and going to work for his father and then going to work for his brother as a printer. So that was Benjamin Franklin. His heart was just not in general schoolwork, but it was in some things his heart was all in it. And he became a very famous man because of it. Albert Einstein is another famous name. He was named Time Magazine's Man of the Century. But Albert Einstein, it says, was not an Einstein in school. Sometimes that just his name is used, you know. Well, you know, what are you, an Einstein? You know, it's a synonym for what are you, a genius? But his heart was not in schoolwork, general schoolwork. He was a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, famous for his theory of relativity and contributions to the quantum theory and statistical mechanics, but he dropped out of high school at age 15. So his heart wasn't in it, but his heart was in certain things like figuring out far out things that other people wouldn't even think of trying to figure out. He figured them out and come up with theories. Why? Because his heart was really in it. Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken. His dad died when he was 6 years old. And since his mother worked, he was forced to cook for the family. I don't know if I'd want to eat six-year-old meals or not. I don't know. It was probably peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't know. But it says after dropping out of elementary school, Sanders worked many jobs, including being a firefighter, a steamboat driver, and an insurance salesman. But he went on to start Kentucky Fried Chicken and made millions before his death. And the company is still going in his name with his picture or silhouette on the sign. So these men's hearts were just not into schoolwork. But whatever these men's hearts was into, they did it with all their heart, and they became well-known men. So when it comes to the Word of God, verse 28, the what? The heart of the righteous does what? Studieth to answer. So are our hearts really in it, in studying the Word of God? I pray that they would be this year. Number three, if our study is going to rightly divide the Scripture, then our goal has to be to please God. I'll say that again. Number three, if our study is going to rightly divide the Scripture, then our goal has to be to please God, not man. Back to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. And the Bible says there, study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if our goal in our study is not to please God, if it's to please man, we will not be on the right track. We're going to veer. If we fear man, if we're doing it to please man, we will not be giving the Word of God in truth. And we have to remember that we're going to have to stand before God one day, not man. And so we have to constantly keep that before us. Notice in Mark chapter 8, and verse 38. How many times in the Old Testament were the majority of prophets true prophets in the Word of God? How many prophets stood there with Elijah on Mount Carmel? Zero. How many stood against him on Mount Carmel? 400 and 450? Yeah, he was kind of outnumbered, I would say. How many stood with Elisha? Well, they were the sons of the prophets. But even all they opposed him when God took Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind. They were all saying, you know, you need to send out a search crew. You need to find out where God dropped off Elijah. He could be on some mountain somewhere, you know. Maybe he needs help. Elisha said, don't send. And they pressed him until he felt ashamed, and then he said, send. Well, they didn't find him, so they come back, and then he said, did I not tell you not to do it, not to go? Jeremiah, how many stood with Jeremiah? He had Barak, you know, his scribe. You know, throughout the Old Testament, how many, you know, with Micaiah? It was all of Ahab and the rest of the false prophets giving him false information. I don't like Micaiah. He never speaks that, which is, you know, good concerning me. But Micaiah was right. All the rest were wrong. So, in Mark 8, in verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and what? Of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be what? Ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So, you know, it's like with Aaron. Aaron and all the children of Israel heard the audible commands. You remember in Exodus 20, what is being said there is being said audibly from the mountain. God is speaking. Many times after that, he'll refer to this which you heard. But let's go to Exodus 20. So, the Israelites are hearing this voice from heaven. You know, so many times people say, oh, if I could just hear God tell me, you know, buy this car, or, you know, go here. What does God want me to do? Okay, well, go to Zambia. I mean, if I could just hear the words. Or if I could just hear God say, I just want you to stay put for right now. Just wait. I'm going to tell you what to do, but just for now, just, you know, keep doing the right things, but just wait. But we're constantly, Lord, what do you want me to do? So that's why we need to be in the Word of God. But remember, the children of Israel were hearing these words audibly from the mountaintop. Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have what? No other gods before me. That's the very first commandment. I want you to remember that. This very first commandment. The very first thing they heard from the mountaintop was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any what? Graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the sea. So verse 3 is the first thing, the first command they heard from the mountain was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The next thing, verse 4, was thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now, go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. We are looking at now something 40 days later. 40 days later. Exodus 32. So sometimes we say, oh, if I could just hear God say it, it would seem so much more sure. Would it? If we could hear God say something tonight, right now, from heaven, what would we be doing 40 days from now? Well, we just read what they heard, and now we're going to read what they did 40 days later. Exodus 32:1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, that's 40 days, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, what? up, make us gods. That was the first thing they heard from the mountaintop audibly not to do. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now they're saying, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Okay, that's the people. Now what's Aaron going to do? He's been left in charge. He heard the same things. He heard one and two. But notice what he does. Verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with what? A graving tool. After he had made it what? A molten calf. That was the second command. The first command was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second command that all the people heard, and Moses and Aaron heard it as well, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. They come to him asking to break the first commandment, and in response to it, he breaks the second commandment. He gets all their jewelry, fashions it with a graving tool, makes it a molten calf. And then verse 4, and they said, these be what? Thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. No, we wouldn't be any different. You know, if we're not willing to study the Word of God and find out what God would want us to do and do it, then we wouldn't do it if we heard it from heaven, because these people did not do it. It's just in the heart of man. So Aaron, the sad thing is that Aaron didn't say, hey, wait a minute. Don't you remember the first commandment you heard from heaven? Was what? Thou shalt have no other gods. What do you mean talking to me about up, make us gods? You know God told us not to do that. What's wrong with you? No, he didn't do that. So, you know, in our lives, it's what are we studying to do? Are we studying to please man, or are we studying to please God? I hope that we are studying to please God, to be approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, the strange thing, the strange and the sad thing is in chapter 32 is that we don't see anyone mad at Aaron here, do we? We don't see anyone murmuring against Aaron in Exodus 32. Whereas Moses, they murmured against him many times, and murmured against Aaron at that point because Aaron was going along with Moses. But now that Moses seems to be off the scene, Aaron is just willing to appease the people. And you know what? For that, God was very angry. And because they really weren't searching for the truth with all their heart, we find that the children of Israel here and Aaron faced the wrath of Moses in Exodus 32, verse 19. So here's what we've got to settle. Okay, if we are really not out to find the truth and to please God, if because of our fear of man, if we're just willing to compromise and water things down so people don't get mad at us, all we are doing is what? Postponing judgment. That's all we're doing. Because Aaron, by pleasing the people, all he did is postpone his own judgment. Exodus 32:19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, this is Moses, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses, what? Anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and what? Burn it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee? that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them. And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they be set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. That was a lie. We just read that he fashioned it with a graving tool. It may have been a really poor model of a calf in his graving expertise. But no, he didn't just throw the gold in the fire and it just happened to cool in this shape. You know, a golden calf. That was a lie. So by not being willing to stand against the people for fear that they would be against him or do whatever, he was only postponing the wrath and judgment because Moses let him have it here. And furthermore, not only did he have to face Moses' wrath, but if it wasn't for Moses pleading for him, God would have destroyed him. Notice in Deuteronomy 9, yes, Deuteronomy 9, God was angry at this point to have destroyed Aaron for him doing that. He was supposed to be the leader. He broke the first two commandments instead of teaching the people otherwise. Deuteronomy 9:18 means the second giving of the law. So Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, is Moses rehearsing all the law again before God's people, before he dies. But Deuteronomy 9:18. So he's repeating what happened. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which he sinned, and doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with who? Aaron, to have what? Destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. So God would have destroyed, God would have killed Aaron. He would have judged Aaron if it wasn't for Moses pleading on his behalf. So the Lord has commissioned us to teach all things that he has commanded. So if our study is going to rightly divide the Word of God, then our goal in it has to be to please God, not to please man. Or the end is not going to be a happy end. Notice in Matthew 28. And you know what our problem is? All of our problem. We're just flesh. All of our problem is it's hard to say the truth when you know there's a great possibility of, if you say it, you're going to offend someone. And so, because of that, it's extremely difficult for us when we're in that situation to still speak the truth. In Matthew 28, in verse 18, Matthew 28:18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to what? Observe all things. And then what? Whatsoever I have commanded you. So back up again. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Paul took that very seriously to teach them all things. Notice in Acts chapter 20, in verse 25. He took it very seriously. Acts 20 and verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall what? Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking what? Perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone what? Night and day with tears. He took it seriously, verse 27. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. When I got into the ministry, I learned pretty quick that, you know what? You get on certain topics and you get people mad at you. Because we're living in such a day of sin that Christians tried to defend so many things by, hey, it's the age of grace. Hey, Christian liberty. Wow, you can make a lot of enemies. So, you know, you just have to, each of us just have to get down in our hearts, okay? I need to speak the truth. I need to do it in love. I notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, if a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So, Proverbs 15:1. So, if we, you know, if we say, hey, I don't care what you think, I'm going to tell you the truth. And, you know, if you say it in an arrogant manner, yeah, you get people mad at you. But that's not our goal. So, in Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in what? In love. May grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So, you know, if we set out to make people mad at us, that's not a hard thing to accomplish. But if we really love the Lord and if we really love people, then we need to speak the truth in love. So just a recap on it. Number one, if our study is faithful, then it will be work and it will bring us weariness. Number two, if our study is in depth, then our heart has to be in it or we'll be like all the inventors. We'll just drop out. We'll quit studying it. Number three, if our study is going to rightly divide the Scripture, then our goal must be to please God. It's got to be the end result. And then in closing, let's look at 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 4, 15. 1 Timothy 4, 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself what? Holy to them. And that goes back to, it's got to be with our heart. It can't just be something just, you know, to gain a little extra knowledge. It's got to be with our heart. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself holy to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both what? Save thyself and what? Them that hear thee. It's important. It's important that we know the truth. And important then that we try to pass that truth on to others. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Fathers, we think of these famous inventors and people that were known to be extremely smart and figure out extremely hard things to figure out, come up with theories. Lord, these people were very well known. But some things their heart really wasn't in it. And so they dropped out of those things. Lord, I pray that our hearts in this year would really be into your word, that we really would want to know your will. And help us, Lord, not to complain. Lord, sometimes we want answers right now, and sometimes that's just not in your plan. Sometimes it's just wait and trust me. And Lord, please help us during those times. Lord, we know our own faults and failures, and we come so short of your glory, so short of your wisdom, Lord, but we want to with all of our hearts to search your word. We want to do the right thing, Lord, with all of our hearts. Lord, we don't want to offend people, but Lord, we do want them to know the truth, and we do want to give it to them in love. So please help us, Lord. This is beyond our ability in so many ways. Please help us and bless us this year. We pray in Jesus' name.